It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
After seeing an uptick in gang-related violence last summer, dozens of Milwaukee community organizations banded together to see what they could do to prevent a repeat.
That collaboration, which included several neighborhood organizations, the City of Milwaukee's Office of Violence Prevention, the Milwaukee Police Department, and a host of businesses and faith-based groups, led to the Bridge Project, which launched this weekend.
The Bridge Project is a campaign to inspire the people of Milwaukee to build bridges of peace and nonviolence. Its goal is to inspire hope and build bridges between communities to prevent crime and violence.
With us to talk about the project is Dawn Barnett. She's co-executive director of Running Rebels Community Organization, and Derek Schotz, a youth advisor for the organization called Violence Free Zone. Dawn and Derek, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Dawn, let's start with you. Give us an overview of what the Bridge Project is.
Sure. Well, the Bridge Project was, like you stated in the introduction, it was an idea from several different organizations from across the city to come together. Last year was really a difficult time here in Milwaukee. We had the exact number was 105 homicides in Milwaukee last year, which was the largest number that we've had in 6 years. And it was actually a 15% increase over 2012. So I think churches, community-based organizations, agencies, I think everybody just got to a point where they just said enough, no more. What is it that we can do to really start making an impact and to do something so that our city, the city that we love, doesn't end up in a terrible place? So an amazing thing happened. I mean, organizations throughout Milwaukee started acting in similar ways. We started having similar conversations. We started coming up with similar ideas. And it was actually a collective effort to say, hey, can we first of all showcase that we can come together in Milwaukee, whether you're from the north or from the south, or whether you're right wing, left wing, it doesn't matter what religion you are. Can we show that first we can come and do something in unity? And that's what the purpose of last Saturday's event was it was just the kickoff, just the start to say, hey, we can come together, unify in one message, and have one call to action. So even though it was a beautiful event, we did not want it to stop there, and it was never planned to stop there. It was just a kickoff to show that we can come together as a city.
And Derek, what about you and your organization, Violence Free Zone? From your perspective, how did this get off the ground? Did you come and approach others, or did someone approach you and say, come help us, we will be better together than apart?
I was approached by the people who are at the table of this project with the understanding that the people like myself and other youth advisors that work in the program serve as a natural bridge between, you know, the older generation and the youth that we serve. I have a real good relationship with a lot of the youth that I work with. I am stationed at Lincoln Center of the Arts. So me and several other youth advisors were asked to be a part of this because they know the connection that we have with young people and how vital young people are to this project.
How are you engaging youth to get them on board with this?
First, they need to understand what the city is facing and what's going on and how necessary the project is, because they may not know. They may not see the direction that the city is heading if we don't start supporting causes like this. So that's where it starts, and that's where the buy-in comes. And a lot of the youth that attended the ceremony are really excited now because they couldn't quite visualize it, but after they've seen the number of people that we brought out and just how great the collaborative effort went, they're very excited now to be a part of something like this, and they know they played just as big of a part as anyone else in the project.
Yeah, how many people were there?
We estimate between 300 and 400 people were there. It was kind of tough to tell in the rain there.
Yeah.
For a second. But I'll tell you, you know, we were at the bottom of the bridge in the Cargill grassy area. And from our vantage point at first, because just to give a quick visualization of how it went, south side agencies lined up on the south side of the 16th Street Bridge. North side lined up on the north side. And then just about almost in the middle on Canal Street, they met up and they joined together to march down Canal Street to the area where we were. So from our vantage point on the bridge, we could hardly see anybody. But when they came together and they marched down on Canal Street, unified as one, chanting as one, it was a beautiful, beautiful sight.
Wow. That sounds amazing. How do you, going back to Derek, you mentioned getting buy-in from the youth. What does it take to get that buy-in?
It first takes a lot of confidence when you're talking to the youth and getting them to believe in something that you believe in. Because if I don't believe in it, they won't either. So it's something that I definitely had to collect information on and see how important and how effective it could be. When I learned that it was something that was going to be ongoing and it was something for the whole city and not just any particular organization or any particular politician, that it was for everybody to be a part of and something that they wanted to continue to grow and go on for years to come, I definitely got more excited about it, and I pushed my excitement on to the youth that I serve.
We mentioned the vast number of community partners that are a part of this effort. I think there are over 40 organizations involved. Is that correct, Dawn?
That's correct.
And how exactly do you plan to maintain, I guess, some sense of organization and perspective on how to keep all 40 of these institutions on the same path? Or is that not as important as simply working toward the greater effort?
No, it's absolutely imperative that we stay connected. And the great thing about Milwaukee is we do have some convening agencies such as Safe and Sound and the Medical College Violence Prevention Initiative, because like between the two of those organizations, they have several organizations that are under their network. So when you have convening organizations at the same table to where we can have a unified message that then spreads out to the networks that work with them, I think that's how we're going to be able to, you know, create an action that is kind of in unison and in harmony. And the wonderful thing is that that's what the Bridge Project has done, is it has gotten everybody at the same table so that we can continue on these conversations.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how violence happens. I mean, this is the impetus for this effort altogether. Maybe, Derek, I'll turn this next question to you. What do you do about violence? How do you go about identifying the source of violence and then digging in to get to the heart of it, to not only end it but prevent it from happening again?
Well, I try my best to, like you said, first identify the source. And most like, you know, any other crime, violence occurs out of boredom or lack of other opportunity. If they're doing positive things and doing activities that we set forth and put in motion for them to do, the chances of them becoming violent at those times are very slim. We got huge buy-in from the youth with this particular project with social media and the audiovisual portion, which is really key to the young people today. They like things like that. They like to be involved in that portion. So we got kids uploading videos and making videos, which is just a crave all throughout the USA, not just for positive things, for anything, period. People want to be a part of social media and audiovisual. So that's one key piece that we're using in this project to keep people out of trouble and keep people engaged.
Mm-hmm. Dawn, what's your perspective on that?
Well, my perspective is that there's no one magic bullet, and you're not going to stop violence. You're not going to stop it altogether. But if we come together, we can make a huge impact. And I think that's the key point of the Bridges Project. What Derek just mentioned is a way in which he and other people involved in his program are making a bridge. Now it's time to say, hey, what are other people's solutions to how you bridge that gap and how you affect violence in your community? And their answers are going to be, you know, it might be completely different. There might be some similar, you know, strings that run through it, but could be completely different. So now it's about, okay, what are people doing citywide to affect violence? And let's showcase those things. Let's highlight those things. Let's keep encouraging those things. And let's reward those things so that they can continue on. And I think that's how we're going to make an impact. No one organization, no one program can do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. It has to be a collective effort.
We're talking with Don Barnett and Derek Schoetz. Both are involved in Milwaukee's new bridge project, a massive collaboration between more than 40 organizations to build bridges between neighborhood communities and to fight violence in Milwaukee.
And we'd love to hear from you and have you join our conversation. Are you a member of the Bridge Project? Is this the type of thing you'd like to see in your community? And how do you think community groups can organize to come together to combat violence? Let us know your thoughts at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org. You can also leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. Is nonviolence.
Is the answer in the future or is it in the past?
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. We're listening to the anthem for Milwaukee's new bridge project. And we're joined by Don Barnett and Derek Schoetz to talk about that project, which strives to build connections between neighborhoods and communities to combat violence.
And we invite you to join the conversation. What are some of the ways you think we should combat violence in our communities? And what is the role of politicians, law enforcement, and other agencies in these efforts? Or is it up to the people to come together? Let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time. WPR is our Twitter handle.
We've been tossing that question to our listeners. What is the role of law enforcement and politicians in this effort? Now I want to turn that to our guests. Derek, let me start with you. What's the role of law enforcement here? In particular, I'm looking at Milwaukee's political dynamics a little bit. In Milwaukee, you've got a police chief, Edward Flynn, and a county sheriff, David Clark, with very different views on gun rights, for example, or versus gun restrictions. Do conflicts like that on the political sphere or with regards to law enforcement leadership make your job of reducing violence more difficult?
It does to a degree. And it makes it hard for me to piece together the importance of law enforcement with the youth that I work with and get them to understand that we are all on the same side with a common goal, which is a safe city. But as long as they become involved in community events and show their faces and show the fact that they are human, they are part of this community and willing to help this community, it makes it a lot easier as well.
Don, what are your thoughts on that? Is the ultimate goal here some sort of policy change to help chip away at violence, or do we have to move beyond that and take matters into our own hands as individuals?
Yeah, I think it's beyond that because I think there's always going to be different beliefs. We're not, you know, the purpose of the Bridge Project, you know, really wasn't to change any policies. It wasn't to get people from the right to be like the people from the left or the left to be like the right or to change different views. It was to say that the things that matter most to us all are in jeopardy. So regardless of all our other opinions and our other beliefs, these are the issues that we need to come together on and say, hey, you know, even though we are of differing opinions, there are still some things that we need to act upon and act upon quickly and come together to show our support in a unified way.
Let's take your calls at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. We'll talk first to Frank in Burlington. Hi, Frank. What's your question?
Hi. No question, actually, but appreciate the call. One of the things that recently had happened, I'm a teacher. I teach art and, of course, always pushing the arts as a positive thing for students and the world. But a situation where a student of mine's artwork was wrecked because a student was bullying them. And so we took the artwork and sent them on their way with some instructions as to how to fix that. Fix this piece of work that was damaged, and then let's reflect on it. You know, one of the things that the arts do, and from Picasso's Guernica to something like a student artwork, is putting it out there in front of the world and making that visual statement. And the other thing it did for this particular student was it allowed them to become stronger as an individual and express themselves through a very public and nonviolent way. So that was a great experience for that particular individual. And now, you know, the work is hanging up and other people can respond to it and react.
Hmm. Thank you, Frank, for that call. Don, what's your take on that? And has the Bridge Project engaged arts organizations in the Milwaukee area?
Oh, absolutely. Arts organizations play a big role. They actually had some wonderful representation in the parade. We had this wonderful, these flags that were made and had names of everybody that had lost their lives to violence. We had a beautiful bridge that was created for people to sign by Vidal, who created this wonderful bridge for people to sign and pledge to be a bridge. Arts is a wonderful way for people to be able to express themselves. And I just, if I could comment as to that, I think that was a beautiful example of how to handle a situation like that. Because when a young person can come face to face and see how their actions have affected another human being, that is so much more powerful than any punitive action that you could take. That was an amazing restorative action, and I appreciate you sharing that story.
Derek Schultz, I wanted to also ask you, in your work with the Violence Free Zone, what other means of nonviolent engagement do you try to pursue, maybe to build bridges between individuals, victims of bullying and the bullies themselves, for example?
Any medium where two people can see eye to eye and enjoy themselves is always good, like art, like athletics. Athletics has always been real big in what we do because it teaches so much. It teaches character, teamwork, you know, all the things that come along with playing team sports. So that's one of the main outlets we use, and also just use honesty more than anything. We admit our faults. When engaging with youth, and we encourage them to do the same, and with each other, which is something that they may have never even thought as being effective. If they can tell somebody that they may have wronged, that they have wronged them, and that person can forgive them, that can go a long way.
Don, at the start of this segment, you mentioned that last year Milwaukee saw 105 homicides just last year alone. You know, for Milwaukee residents, it seems like violence really can hit close to home for many people. But for those outside of the city, it might seem difficult to put violence into perspective. How do you show the rest of the state of Wisconsin that this is an issue that's worth paying attention to?
Well, you know, I think that over time it's going to present itself because, you know, the way that we're all connected and the way in which now, you know, these boundaries are starting to spread, sooner or later, and now, you know, with the heartbreaking story in regards to what happened, you know, with the recent killings with the Jewish community, the Sikh temple shooting. I mean, these are examples of how violence is starting to creep out into other areas in which had not, you know, experienced, you know, recently that kind of violence. And, you know, at one point or another, it's going to touch us all. It is going to. So I think that, unfortunately, our inability to contain life and to contain these types of things, it will show itself that it affects us all.
And Derek, what are your thoughts on that? How do you make others outside of the Milwaukee city limit engaged on this issue?
Continue to focus on it and strengthen it to make it worth being engaged from someone outside of the city. I'm pretty sure violence has no limits. Bullets have no limits. I'm pretty sure they're facing similar problems. So if they see that what we've done is effective, they have no choice but to acknowledge it and possibly collaborate with us.
You mentioned what a powerful event the march was on Saturday afternoon. How do you maintain that momentum going forward? What's next for the Bridge Project?
Well, we got some wonderful things coming up. You know, we have the Bridge Project anthem video premiere. You played a snippet, a teaser of what that song is, and it's going to be set to a wonderful video which will show some powerful scenes that hopefully, you know, to your question of how do you engage other people in this movement, hopefully it will compel people. You know, hopefully the words of the song, hopefully, you know, as people really start to become intimate with some of these stories of violence and how it affects people. So that video premiere is going to be in June of this year. And then...
We will look forward to that, Dawn. Thank you so much. And thank you to Derek as well for being with us.
Sure. Thank you so much for having us.
It was Dawn Barnett and Derek Schoetz talking about the Bridge Project, a new anti-violence initiative underway in Milwaukee. For some parts of our state, spring is finally, albeit begrudgingly, arriving. The lakes are melting and the parkas are coming off.
It's been a long, cold winter, and lots of us are itching to get outside. So we're dedicating the rest of the hour to things to do outside, things we're excited about doing here in Wisconsin.
From live music and plays to festivals and state parks, we want to hear what you're excited to do outside in Wisconsin this spring and summer. Give us a call and let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Here with us now to talk about great ways to get outside is Lisa Marshall, Communications Director with the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Lisa, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Well, as someone with the Department of Tourism, what are you most excited to do as the weather begins to warm up?
Oh, my gosh. I just want to get out to a hike at a state park. But I want to wait until it gets a little bit drier out.
It's a little wet right now, yeah.
Wet, I know. But it will be here soon. It always, you know, summer never fails us. It'll be here soon.
Well, state parks are really popular. Yeah. Are there ones that have special features that we might not know about that people should be sure to hit in their summer romping and trail hiking?
You know, a lot of people are familiar, of course, with Devil's Lake and Peninsula State Park and the ones in Door County. Another one that's got a special feature is High Cliff State Park. It's over near on the east side of Lake Winnebago. And it's, you know, it's part of the Niagara Escarpment. And that Niagara Escarpment, it's like a really wonderful thing. You can walk up and you can get beautiful views. But that's part of a geological feature that goes all the way to Niagara Falls.
Really?
Yeah, so it's part of the whole Niagara Escarpment.
So you have to be comfortable with heights for that one, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's a little bit, yes.
When I hear the word escarpment.
Yeah. Well,
that's
it just offers some great views.
All right, well, what about other things that go on about Wisconsin that we might not know about? Festivals, concerts, and performing arts sorts of things. What are you thinking?
Wisconsin has a lot of wonderful outdoor venues for theater and music. And a lot of these, you know, our tickets are starting to go on sale now, so you might want to think about, you know, taking a look at their websites and see what's playing. And it's wonderful. It's like seeing a show under the stars. American Players Theater in Spring Green is one of the best known. It's known internationally, renowned for its Shakespearean plays and other classics. You know, they've been named, you know, Best Company of the Year by Wall Street Journal. And their shows will be starting, I think they're doing Much Ado About Nothing, which is a Shakespeare play. Another one, two, up in Door County, American Folklore Theater, and they'll be doing this perennial favorites, Guys on Ice and Packers from Outer Space, so usually real family-friendly. Peninsula Players Theater, another one in Door County. It's America's oldest professional resident summer theater in Door County. They've been around for 80 years. They do five plays a year. And another one is called the Carnegie Hall of Tent Shows, and this is Big Top Chautauqua up out there up north in the Bayfield area. And they do a lot of original music, and they also touring, you know, national, regional touring musicians as well. But this tent is really unique. It's a big blue big top, and it seats about 900 people.
It's interesting. I've lived in Wisconsin more or less my whole life, give or take a few years, and I've never been to Big Top Chautauqua. There really are a lot of outdoor theaters here, aren't there?
Yeah, there are, and that's why it was worth it when you guys said, let's talk about getting outside. It was worth bringing up the performing arts. So, and then, of course, you know, we have a lot of outdoor music festivals as well. I mean, you can't, you know, not talk about music and outdoors and not talk about Summerfest, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this year we have some really big names coming, and it's like the last week of June, first week of July, 11 days, 13 stages, Usher, Lady Gaga, Brad Paisley. There were some really huge names, Motley Crue, for those of us, you know, who from the 80s. So you can't not talk about Summerfest, but there's also in Cadott, Wisconsin, or Cadott, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, they have Country Fest, which is June 26th through June 29th, and it's a natural amphitheater, great sound system. They have 8,000 campsites for you to camp, and you know, because a lot of people make this into like a camping thing, but great music as well.
Okay, great. Lots of great suggestions. And I want to get our callers in right away.
Yeah,
so let's
please.
Start. And by the way, we're going to take phone calls throughout this entire interview here. So please join us. You can call right now. And we're taking calls 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And if you're like me, you are at the very high watermark for cabin fever, and you're eager to start thinking about things to do outside and to take your life outside again. We want to know what you're excited about doing this summer and in spring. That's coming up quicker, of course, once the snow melts again.
Anyway,
let's go to Larry, who's joining us in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Larry.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if you had mentioned geocaching at all yet.
No, but that's another really great way to get outside. Do you have any great spots that you would recommend?
Oh, there's a great little one near Potosi, up near the brewery there. So, I mean, it's perfect because you don't even need a GPS. There's even free apps out there for your smartphone. So it's great for everyone to just get out and do it.
I'll tell you, geocaching has gotten very popular. Another great location, like I said, they're all over the state. I know that. You can go to websites and find them. West Bend, Wisconsin has kind of made a little name for itself, too, as a geocaching destination, and they even do a yearly event where they bring geocaching people in from all over to go out and geocache.
So, Larry, what is the best prize that you have ever found in a cache?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I just actually went the other day, and I found a pen that was like a lipstick container, but it was actually a pen instead of lipstick.
So you found some stealth lipstick. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. Geocaching. Okay, and West Bend,
was a hot spot for
geocaching.
Yes, they are a hot spot. They call themselves the geocaching capital of Wisconsin.
Okay, and we have some votes here from Michelle, our technical director here, who is looking forward to the Muscadet Morel Festival. Morels just in general I'm super excited about, and the fact that there is an entire festival devoted to morels is pretty exciting. Do you know about that one?
I do know about that one. It's in Muscadet, and you can buy them by bulk, and you can eat them fried, and you know, they have live music, and they try to make it a fun day too. And I know here in South Central Wisconsin, we're lucky because I think we get a lot of them in our local grocers too. But that event's been around for a pretty long time, and it just seems to grow year after year. So fingers crossed, you know, we have a good morel harvest this year.
I'm going to admit my ignorance here. I have only the vaguest idea of where Muscadet is in relation to where I live in Madison. Where is it?
It's sort of south. It's like along the lower Wisconsin River, sort of southwest Wisconsin.
Okay, so that sounds like a lovely place for it.
Yeah, just I'd say it's southwest Wisconsin, but like west of Madison along the lower Wisconsin Riverway.
Okay, well, that sounds great. And Chris Molina, he is our director today, and he's looking forward to the sweet corn, the Sun Prairie Corn Festival.
I've been to that one. That one's another fabulous one. It takes place in August, and I'll tell you, the favorite part of this thing is you get your corn, and I don't know if they still do this, but they used to have, like, salt shakers hanging from, like, ropes, and you, like, salt and, like, you know, salt and butter your corn that way. I thought that was, how clever is that?
You know, that sounds like heaven right now.
Yes,
just thinking about sweet corn sounds so summery and fun.
Well, and then, you know, the Dane County Farmers Market will be opening here soon, if I think it's any day now, or if it hadn't already opened, so that's going to be coming up here soon, too.
Excellent. And I have on, just to add to the list of food festivals, I, for the first time, really want to try the Cedarburg Strawberry Festival. I'm nuts about anything with strawberries.
And that's another really good one. You know, Cedarburg is a small, beautiful, historic town just north of Milwaukee. They got some great little boutique shops up there. It's, you know, that historic, it's like a historic mill. And it's also home to a little winery, Cedar Creek Winery. So, yeah, they do another wonderful job there. strawberries by the bushels, I suppose. Mm. And, you know, you can eat it all different ways as well.
It's so hard to wait as I look outside at the snow.
Like, I want to say that one is June.
Okay, I think that one is probably in June because I think that's when strawberries are typically in season. Okay, let's go to our callers again. Mary is joining us in Waukesha. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for taking this call. You were talking about theaters, APT and Peninsula and so forth. In Lapham Peak State Park in Waukesha County, there is a theater company called Summer Stage that has outdoor productions all through the whole summer.
Oh, what kind of things do they have?
Well, 2 and 3 week productions. Maybe they'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, time and dates, and just theatrical productions. Well, I know one that's happening this summer, late in the summer, is called Cemetery Club.
Okay.
Very interesting comedy. And but there are several things that I'm not where I have access to the names.
Sure, that's fine, Mary. But thank you so much for that suggestion. More outdoor theater in Waukesha at, was it Lapham?
Lapham Peak State Park.
Lapham Peak State Park.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, I always learn something new when I listen, you know, when I'm on these shows and someone calls in. I'm like writing that note now. So thank you, Mary, for writing a note to make sure that's
we appreciate
on our travelwisconsin.com website.
Excellent. And we go next to Tony in Rhinelander. Hi, Tony.
Hello. How are you today?
Doing good. What do you vote for this summer?
Well, it's a little bit of fun right now. I am looking forward to going out and standing in my front yard without a pair of snow boots on.
It's the little things right now.
We just got another 3.5 inches of snow last night. And it's we've got some flurries going on right now. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting outside.
Just being outside and feeling the sun.
I agree.
Yeah. I hear you there. Well, right now we are speaking with Lisa Marshall of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism about things to do outdoors in Wisconsin once the snow melts and it finally warms up. I think it's going to happen pretty soon. I'm optimistic. Tell us what you'd like to do. Although it probably doesn't feel like it today. We just heard from someone up in Rhinelander who had 3 inches of snow. It is spring. Spring is coming. And we want to know what you're excited about doing besides just feeling the sun again. What are you excited about getting outside and enjoying in Wisconsin?
We'd like to hear from you. You can tell us about your favorite outdoor festivals, concerts, state parks at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we're talking with Lisa Marshall, Communications Director with the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. We'll go back to the phone lines now. We've got Artis with us from Richland Center. Hi, Artis.
Hi there. You don't have to wait to go to the Big Top in up north with the Bill, what's his name, Michael Perry.
Uh-huh.
They are coming to Richland Center on the 26th at the high school here.
Ah.
This is their fourth year, and we are next in Muscadet, so it's not that far away. But Michael Perry in the Big Top, they tape it during the year, and then they play it on Saturday nights on NPR. I'm sure your girls should know that.
Okay.
And the Blue Canvas Orchestra is there. But this way, it's get a taste of it in the winter. And then when summer comes, you can go to the Big Top.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Artis, for putting that plug in for that. Another opportunity without so much driving if you're in the southern part of the state. And let's go to Kevin. Kevin next from Tomahawk. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Good evening or afternoon. I just want to mention a sure sign of spring is the turkey vultures have returned to the Oneida County landfill today for the first time.
Oh.
And on that note, what I'm looking forward to is watching the loons come back to the lakes.
Oh.
My understanding is they're just south of Tomahawk right now looking for open water.
Oh, I hope they find it. Have you got open water up there?
Just on the rivers right now, none of the lakes yet.
Well, hopefully those temperatures will be warming up. I think they are. I heard a loon call, I think, on one of our local lakes just this weekend. So I think they are working their way up to you up there. Probably a little more open water down here. But, yeah, it's something fantastic to look forward to. And the turkey vultures are back. Any more for bird watchers, Lisa? What are you thinking?
I was just going to say, I'm like, Kevin totally made me think of this, but the Horicon Marsh Bird Festival, May 9th through the 12th, again, another annual event. This is the largest, you know, the Horicon Marsh is a national, you know, recreation area. It's the largest freshwater cattail marsh in the nation. They do a wonderful job of seeing all these species of birds that are starting to migrate back, and you can see them by boat, by bus, by kayak, on foot. I mean, they do so many different things. They also do like a night sounds bus tour so that you can, like you were just saying, you can hear the marsh and you listen to it after dark. And of course they have people interpreting what you're, you know, everything that's going on so that you can learn about it too.
Fantastic. That is the Horicon Marsh Bird Festival. And it looks like that's coming up in May.
Yes. May 9th through the 12th.
And we'd like to hear from you. What are you excited about doing in Wisconsin? What signs of spring have you seen? And what is yet to come that you just cannot wait for? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll go next to Lisa, who is joining us from Milwaukee. Hey, Lisa.
Hi. I'm on the road, so I'm in my old jalopy Suburban. It's hard to hear yet. But I was born in Milwaukee, raised in Texas, and I migrate back every summer for the Cedar Grove Holland Fest.
Cedar Grove Holland Fest. I haven't heard about that.
I haven't heard that one either.
What kind of things would you do there?
Well, it's about in its 50th year, and it's charming. It's like Norman Rockwell, little town with a Dutch flavor, and they have a parade, and the kids come out in their little Dutch costumes, and they literally, figuratively, they are scrubbing the street, and then they carry on with the rest of the parade. That happens around noon. They have a Holland Fest 10K and 2 mile run in the morning on Saturday. Raffle drawings all day. Usually the Wisconsin band shows up and plays, and so there's music, but there's no alcohol in the park. And it starts on Friday, and then it's all day Saturday up there.
Well, I wanted to tell Lisa, I just found it on our travelwisconsin.com website. In that event, there's a wonderful photo of people in these, like, the Dutch clogs, like those wooden shoes. Mm-hmm. Very cute. And it's the event date on this one is July 25th and 26th. So it does, just from the picture, it looks adorable.
Excellent. There are so many festivals in Wisconsin that just sound fantastic. If you can even hit just a handful of them, you've got a pretty good summer.
Exactly. Yes. And we have, you know, thousands of events listed on travelwisconsin.com. You can search them by date or search them by the type of event you'd like to go to. Is it an arts and crafts show? Is it a food festival? So, you know, we got your events for you.
Excellent. Well, thanks to Lisa for that suggestion. And we'll move now to Eleanor in Grand Marsh. Hey, Eleanor.
Hi. We have an event that comes up the 26th of April. It is the Grand Marsh Lions sponsor this event. We have we have draft horses that come and pull the old machinery of yesteryear. We have a small miniature animal petting zoo for children. We have a lady that comes with an antique doctor's buggy, and she has participated in many polls and events for herself, and she is legally blind. And it's just amazing to see her go around. The guys with the horses will actually let the children you know, get them on the old plows and let them steer the horses down the field while they are doing some plowing.
Okay, that sounds cool, Eleanor. And this is in Grand Marsh?
Yes, it's just north of Grand Marsh, but it's very easy to find because that day there will be all kinds of horse trailers around and cars. We have food. I heard one lady say no alcohol, same here. And it's a fun event we put on every year.
What are the dates on that one?
The 26th of April, the last Saturday in April, from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 in the afternoon.
All right, that's coming right up. Thanks a lot for letting us know about it. Lisa, do you have familiarity with that one?
I've never heard of that one. No, but I'm going to check that one out, too, and make sure we got it listed on our website so people can find it.
Great. Well, let's go next to Pamela in Fish Creek. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Well, I was calling in because I was so excited earlier when all the snow had melted, and I was looking forward to going out and collecting ramps.
Yeah. Oh, and then
it snowed.
Right.
But, you know, it's April. It won't last long.
Right.
So, but that's one of my very favorite things in spring in the May, you know, May time frame is waiting for the April, May, waiting for the ramps to come in and going out and collecting them. We live on, you know, on some property up in northern Door County, and so they come in and you can go out and collect them up. And I like to saute them up with asparagus and put them in eggs and along with pasta and all different kinds of things. It's just such a nice harbinger of spring. I'm excited. I'm waiting for them to come up.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Come back out.
Does your cat like them?
Yeah. You can hear him. That's Oscar. He hasn't tried them too much yet. I think he, you know.
If you mix it with some kibble or something like that, maybe. Well, that sounds gummy. Ramps. Yeah, we've been thinking about ramps and getting excited about morels. So lots of things foraging even in our own backyard. So thank you so much for reminding us about ramps, Pamela. And let's go next to Cindy. Cindy's joining us in Cedarburg. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm excited about the Tour of America's Dairyland. It is a 11-day bike race that goes from Oshkosh to East Troy and all throughout the Milwaukee, Tosa, even Fond du Lac. And different people can show up and support their team, or businesses are out there, you know, rooting for the community because they bring this wonderful event to the city. We have racers from all around the world that come out, and they even have like kids events, which are really a lot of fun. So in right before the pro racers in the afternoon, they'll have like some of the younger children come out and do some races right down, you know, the through the finish line and things like that. So it's really exciting, gets the whole community involved. And
excellent.
It is sponsored by the the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board.
Yes.
So there's lots of chocolate milk available.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Thank you so much for that suggestion, Cindy. And Lisa, as far as getting outdoors on bikes, anything else come to mind?
Well, there's a new event here in Madison. It's called the Madison Brewery Bike Tour, and they're celebrating Craft Brewery Week. And as you know, Wisconsin is known for its craft beers. So it's May 3rd. It looks like they're going to be stopping at a couple different places, starting at Machinery Row, going to Ale Asylum, Next Door Brewing, and then One Barrel Brewing. So each, you know, you ride your bike, and each stop includes two sample pours. So kind of a new thing. I haven't heard of that one yet. So
yeah, so things taking off.
And yeah.
Lots and lots of new things along with old favorites.
So you can, you know, bike with milk or bike with beer in our state.
Lisa, anything on your own personal must-do summer list in our last few seconds here?
I have to admit, I will be at Brat. You will see me at the world's largest Brat Fest in Madison. A lot of performing groups are from the local groups will be performing, including my daughter from the Kale School of Dance. So we always go to that one just so I can cheer her on. But
right.
it's a fun event, and we have to break the record. You know, it's Wisconsin, it's Brats. Help us break the record.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much. This conversation has given me hope that spring will in fact come.
Yes, it will. I promise. It always does.
We've been talking to Lisa Marshall, Communications Director of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, about things to do outside as the weather warms up. What are you looking forward to, Cynthia?
My family always goes camping up at Peninsula State Park, so that's definitely on my to-do list. And then we've got concerts on the square here in Madison, too. Eventually,
when it's warm and we can sit out on the grass again. Seems so far away.
Yeah.